I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. And a very warm welcome to our visitors from Singapore and also our visitors from the neighborhood here. May the Lord be with you and may the Lord grant you a very special blessing this morning. And as you worship with us, we pray that you will indeed be able to hear the Lord's still small voice speaking to you. And we trust that the voice of the Lord will also be speaking to each one of us out of his word of life. And we want to welcome back all those who worshiped with us previously and are back with us here this morning. So good to see all of you. Now this morning, the subject is Receive the Light and Shine. Receive the Light and Shine. Here in Australia, we take electricity very much for granted. At the flick of a switch, our lights come on in the house at night. But this might not be the case in many villages in the world today. Yes, because in those villages, the electricity supply could be quite limited. Now, I still remember years ago, some 50, 60 years ago, the village that my mother lived in had very limited electricity supply. In fact, the supply came from just one stand-alone generator. And this generator generated electricity for the entire village. And only those who would accept the offer to purchase electricity from this man who operated the generator could have electricity in the home. But they must accept the offer. Now, I don't remember my mother ever accepting the offer. So her house was always quite dim. There were no bright lights in her home, but there were bright lights in the home, in the homes that received this electricity. And by the way, the supply was really very, very limited. The supply was limited to one single bulb, that's all. One single bulb in the home. But my mother didn't have that kind of lighting in the home. No light, that bright light at all, because she didn't accept the offer that was made by this operator of the generator. Now, God offers us light too. Yes, he does. And it is spiritual light that he offers us. And without this light, my dear friends, we are in truth living in the darkness of sin. And he offers us this light through his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who says this. In John chapter 8, verse 12, I read this verse for you. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. So the Lord, the one true living God, offers us this light through his only begotten Son, Jesus, who says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if we receive this light from him, we will have the light of life. Now the difference between getting this light into my mother's home and of course today getting light into our home and the light that is provided by the one true living God is that the offer of providing this light to us by the one true living God is provided free of charge, whereas the electricity that we get into our home and the electricity that my mother, if she wanted to accept the offer, would have to be accepted at a price. Friends, we need this gospel light, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The reason is that if you are an unbeliever, you are in actual fact living in the darkness of sin. All your life, you have been living in sin. All your life, you have been living in this darkness. And today, you are still living in darkness, but you do not realize that you are living in this darkness. You know why you don't realize that you are living in this darkness if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ? The reason is simply this. People around you are living in darkness. And you are living in darkness. So your living in darkness will not be abnormal to you because everybody does that. Everybody lives in darkness. So if I live in darkness, it is not abnormal. It is normal. But the sad truth is also this, my dear friends. You are darkness itself. Not just living in darkness, but darkness itself. Now, who says so? Now, I didn't say so. I don't say so. It is the word of God that says so. I read for you in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. All right, this verse, Ephesians 5, 8. If you are fast enough, then do it. Ephesians 5, 8. All right, let me read this verse for you. Ephesians 5, 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. You see, you were sometimes darkness. In other words, when you were an unbeliever, you were darkness. That's what the Word of God says. But now are you in the light, because now you are a believer, so walk as children of light. So, my dear friends, if you are an unbeliever, you are not only walking in darkness, but you are darkness itself. In other words, light is not emitting out of you. Light is not emitted from you, but darkness is emitted from you. And people who walk in darkness, the sad truth is, they love darkness. They walk in darkness and they love darkness. Why? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into this world. And when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of this light coming into this world, he's talking about himself. I am the light that comes into this world. Yes? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. That is why they love darkness, because their own deeds are evil. Friends, let me ask you this question. Do you see your deeds as being evil? Do you? Now, people will not see their deeds as being evil. Why? Because they are living in a world that is evil. And so, because they live in a world that is evil, as I said, they themselves are darkness itself. So, they don't think that it is abnormal to be responsible for evil activities. Yes, the truth is they have been desensitized to the evil, to their own evil. I repeat that. They have been desensitized to their own evil because of the evil around them. Yes, so they have been desensitized. Some years ago, my wife and I lived in an apartment block here in Sydney. And we had a neighbor who lived one floor below us. And this man literally smoked like a chimney. Yes. And the smoke from his cigarette was so foul, it actually contaminated the entire stairwell. It was very stinking, actually, because he was such a great smoker. Then we complained to our next door neighbor, who sat in the management committee, about the foulness of the smell. You know what he said? No, I don't smell anything. It's all right. I don't smell anything. Yes. And then thankfully that man who was responsible for the stench of the smoke moved out from the complex. But then we were quite puzzled. Why? Because the stench of the smoke still remained to a lesser degree. And then the puzzle was solved when we realized that this man who sat in the management committee, who was our next door neighbor, was also smoking. He smoked. Yes, he didn't smoke cigarettes, but he smoked a pipe. And so, because he smoked, the smell of the burning tobacco, of course, didn't seem to be foul to him. The darkness of smoking was not darkness, because he was guilty of the same darkness. And I would not be surprised at all if he loved the smell of the smoke. You see, people love darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So I would not be surprised, my dear friends, that he also loved the smell of the cigarette smoke in the stairwell. Then he might also think that his deed of smoking a pipe was not that evil. Why? Because people around them did worse things than he did. People smoke cigarettes, and he would tell himself, I smoke a pipe. My tobacco is not that bad compared to the tobacco in the cigarette. So he might think that he was all right, that he was not doing a bad thing. Now, often I feel that God's word is not getting through to some of us here in the congregation. Why? Because we have been desensitized to evil by the evil that is around us. So we don't feel that our deeds are evil, because we have been desensitized to evil. I talk, for example, about modesty in dressing. I talk about exposing too much of the flesh. And I talk to you about coming to the church and to honor the Lord. I talk about doing all things to glorify the name of the Lord. Yet some would still continue not to observe the modesty that we have been talking about. And the sad truth is, you could be like my neighbor, who saw nothing wrong with his pipe smoking because people around him were smoking cigarettes. My dear friends, don't let the darkness of the world be your standard. Don't be sensitized to the evil that is around us. Instead, my dear friends, let the light of the Word of God be our standard. Not the darkness of the world, but the light of the world. Let it be our standard. Now, let me talk about living in darkness. Now, when we talk about darkness, let us understand it is not darkness that we as we see it, but it is darkness as God sees it. The Lord said Jesus Christ in John chapter 8, verse 12. I think it's good now we refer to this verse. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12, the verse that I referred to earlier on. John chapter 8, verse 12. 8:12. John 8:12, let me read that for you. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be walking in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the opposite is true. If we do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be walking in darkness. All right, let me show you another verse. John chapter 12, verse 46. John 12, 46. All right. John 12, 46. Okay, let me read this verse for you also. John 12, 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not abide in darkness, which means we will not live in darkness. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not live in darkness. Now the opposite is also true. If we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will be living in darkness. Now, if you are walking in darkness or living in darkness, you are actually guilty of the works of darkness. Yes? I show you another few verses, all right, to show that we are indeed guilty of the works of darkness. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verses 12 to 14. Romans 13, 12 to 14. All right, you see that we are guilty of the works of darkness if we do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13, verses 12 to 14. Let me read these verses for you. All right. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And then verses 13 and 14. Let us walk honestly as in the day. So one of the works of darkness is what? Here, honesty is spoken about. So one of the works of darkness is dishonesty. And then another work of darkness, the next phrase, not in rioting and drunkenness. Drunkenness is also a work of darkness. And then look at the next phrase, not in chambering and wantonness, referring to sexual sins, right? My dear friends, if we are guilty sexual sins, we are guilty of the works of darkness. Not in strife and envying. Envying and strife. Strife means being very quarrelsome. Being quarrelsome and being envious, my dear friends, are also works of darkness. But rather put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So my question to all of us is, have we been guilty of the works of darkness? Have we been dishonest? If we have ever lied, we are being dishonest. If we have cheated before, we are guilty of dishonesty. My dear friends, we would be guilty of the works of darkness. Then have we ever been drunk before? If we have, my dear friends, we are guilty of the works of darkness. Then have we been guilty of sexual sins? If we have, my dear friends, we are guilty of the works of darkness. Then have we ever quarreled before? If we have, we are guilty of the works of darkness. Have we envied before? If we have, my dear friends, we are guilty of the works of darkness. My dear friends, let us understand that when the Lord talks about committing adultery, as I said many times before, it has reference to not just committing the sexual act itself, but the Lord says it very, very clearly that if you so much as look at a woman who is not your wife with lust in your heart, you have already committed that sexual sin called adultery. So let us understand, my dear friends, if we are guilty of this, any of these sins that we have just spoken about, we are guilty of the works of darkness. But as I said, this list is by no means comprehensive. Now, then have we ever hated before? 1 John chapter 2, verse 11 says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness." You hate your brother, you are in darkness, living in darkness, and walking in darkness, and knoweth whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So if we are guilty of hating, my dear friends, we are guilty of the works of darkness. And let us all be one. The Lord Jesus Christ says that you don't actually have to take up a knife to kill, plunge it into somebody's back to be guilty of murder. So long as you hate somebody in your heart, you have already committed murder. So, my dear friends, if we hate, we are guilty of the works of darkness. We have actually broken God's laws. And because of your works of darkness, judgment is awaiting you. Alright? The Word of God says, "As it is appointed unto man once to die." After this, the judgment. Every one of us has to die someday, wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Now understand this truth, my dear friends. Often when the Word of God talks about death, it doesn't just talk about physical death. It actually also refers to spiritual death. Alright, in this instance here, it may not refer to spiritual death, the verse that I've just read. But friends, often in the Word of God, when the word death is spoken of, it refers not only to physical death, but spiritual death. And what is spiritual death? Spiritual death is separation from the one true living God. It means if you are in the state of spiritual death, you do not have spiritual life in you at all, separated from the one true living God. And when you pass away from this earth, if you continue to be separated from the one true living God, you continue not to have spiritual life, you head for outer darkness, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. But friends, the gospel light, Jesus, who is the light of the world, is offered to you this morning. If you are walking in darkness, yes, this spiritual light is offered to you. There are those who will not come to this light, but I trust you will, that you see the light this morning and you would want to come to this light. But then there are those who are not interested in this light. They do not want to come to this light. They prefer to continue to live in darkness rather than to come to this light. They know that if they come to this light, they have to give up that darkness, something which they love very much, something which they love to live in. And they know that they have to give up their sins, and they are not prepared to give up their sins. They prefer to continue to live in darkness. And then there are those who are self-sufficient. They think that they can make it to heaven based on their own merits. Yes, they think that they are good enough to get into heaven. They admire Jesus, but to them, Jesus was only a man, only a teacher. They admire the light, but dear friends, admiring this light is not good enough. Admiring this light would be just like my mother, possibly in a village in those days, admiring the lights that were in other people's house. But then her house was in dimness because she didn't accept the offer that was made by the operator of the generator to provide electricity for her home. My dear friends, so admiring this light is not good enough. Well, what is needful is that you receive this light, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for you on the cross of Calvary, that he shed his precious blood for you. And then you come to him, believe in him, receive him into your heart, and you will receive the light of life. So understand these two friends, No man can get into heaven based on his own merits. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. And the truth is, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said earlier on, you are living in darkness. And if you do not follow him, you are walking in darkness. And if you have heard the gospel before, friends, if you have heard the gospel before, I trust this morning that you will not reject the gospel. I tell you why. I've said it many times before. Now, if you reject the gospel for another time, it's going to make you harder to receive the gospel the next time. And a time may come when you have reached a point of no return, so much so that even if you want to come to believe in Jesus, you will not be able to do so. There was this scientist, a naturalist, who would be lowered down a cliff for him to do his research. And he was lowered down the cliff by means of a rope. And this rope was, of course, operated by, the lowering was, and the hauling was operated by a motor. And he was not to carry excessive weight. The weight that he was to carry was limited. So he went down, and as he did his research, he went further and further down the cliff. Yes, one day he went down so low that the motor didn't have the power to haul him up. You know why? He forgot to take into account the weight of the lengthening of the rope. That was the reason. My dear friends, each time you reject the gospel offered to you, you are unconsciously adding weight to your unbelief. And that's the truth, my dear friends. You are adding weight to your unbelief, just as that scientist was unconsciously adding weight to himself by the lengthening of the rope. And there will come a point of no return for you. And even if you want to believe, my dear friends, it will be virtually impossible for you to believe, because God would have given you up. And there is such a thing, my dear friends, let us understand that there is such a thing as God giving you up, because you keep on rejecting and rejecting the gospel. I trust, my dear friends, that you will not do it any longer. You've heard it so many times. My dear friends, let this gospel message come to you with freshness this morning, and that you will open your heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior this morning. Now, but how to receive this light? Recognize that your heart is full of darkness. Yes, indeed, our heart is full of darkness if we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk in darkness, we are darkness itself. Remember that? Recognize this truth. And then come before the Lord and ask him to cleanse you of all your sins by his precious blood that was shed for you on the cross of Calvary. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for us. Receive him into your heart and have that precious blood cleanse your sins. And then you will be made whole, made pure, and then receive him into your heart. And once you did it, my dear friends, you will have received the light of life, and you will have everlasting life. My dear friends, this offer is made to you this morning by the one true living God. Will you or will you not accept the offer? Next, if you have received the light, now I'm talking to believers now, reflect the light. Now, are you a believer? Now, if you are a believer, you have indeed received the light. And if you are a believer, you must necessarily be reflecting this light. Matthew 5, 14 and 15, the verses that we read earlier on, let's turn to these two verses. Very familiar verses, but good for us to read them and to understand the truth of these verses. Matthew 5, 14 and 15. 14 and 15, let me read for you. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. A bushel is a bowl, or a bowl or some kind of a cover, a bowl. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, if we have received the gospel, light of the gospel, we have indeed received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if that be the case, then we must necessarily reflect the light. So the question is, why must we reflect the light? Why must we show forth this light? Can't we just keep the light to ourselves? No, my dear friends, we can't. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says this to us. Ye are the light of the world. We are to shine for him. my dear friends, ye are the light of the world, he says so, which means we are to shine for him. We are to reflect that light and make the Lord Jesus Christ more glorious in the eyes of men. Jesus himself is the light of the world. But today our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has ascended up to heaven. He is at the right hand of God. And we are the ones left behind here. And he has appointed each one of us to be the light to shine on his behalf. People will not be able to see the light of Christ, but he will be able to see the light of Christ through each one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is absolutely necessary that we shine for him, that we reflect the light that he wants us to reflect. And how true it is. The words of the Gospel of Matthew here says, a city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. And that is true. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Now here in Australia, sometimes you might be driving at night into the outback, and then you might come to a hill right in front of you. Now, there's no street lighting, everything is pitch dark. And then in the distance on the hill slope, if there is a house on the hill and there's light coming out from the house, will you or will you not be able to see that house? I say you will be, because it's total darkness, and you will be definitely be able to see that house with light coming out from the house. What more, my dear friends, if we are talking about entire city set on the hill, if all the houses in that city have got lights coming up from them, we will definitely not miss that city. That's the point the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to understand. We are to shine for him, just like the city with lights set on the hill. Nobody should ever miss seeing that light. Yes? And in other words, our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ must be very clear. So is your testimony for the Lord very clear? Is my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ very clear? People interacting with us must have no doubt that we are indeed true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ by our testimony. Now let's say that I work for a company for 10 years, all right? And then there's this colleague who works with me for the past 10 years. And then one day he says to me, hey, Cole, hey, I didn't know that you are a believer in the last 10 years. I didn't even know that you are a believer. I say, something must be terribly wrong, right? For the last 10 years, I didn't even show one bit that I was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something must be terribly, terribly wrong with my testimony. My dear friends, that cannot be the case. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Alright? We are to shine each one for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we are to work hard, to hold up the light. The Lord says, neither do men light the candle and put it under a bushel, but put on the candlestick. A candlestick is a candlestand. You light the candle and put it on the candlestand so that you provide light for everybody in the house. And that's exactly what we must be doing. We are to work hard, hold up the light, so that men will be able to see that light. What it means, my dear friends, is we are to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us light. He has given us salvation. So do you or do you not have salvation? Answer is, yes, it's been given to you. The light has been given to you. But friends, it is incumbent on us to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. In other words, we must work hard to show forth this light that has been given to us. The Lord says it to us very, very clearly. Ye are my witnesses. Ye are witnesses unto me. So, my dear friends, let us be the witnesses that he wants us to be. Now, the next reason as to why we must reflect the light is that people are lost in darkness, and they need that gospel light that we are supposed to reflect to be able to see the way of salvation. They are lost. They are not able to see. Lost in darkness. They need that light. Yes, how shall people be able to see the gospel light if we, who are the bearers of the gospel, are not bearers of the gospel, when we are supposed to be bearers of the gospel? The word of God says it clearly in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on believe in him of whom they have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? They must hear the gospel message from us. Each one of us must be a preacher. Now, the preacher is not necessarily the one that stands here every Sunday to preach to you. Every one of us who is a bearer of the gospel must be a preacher. People must hear the gospel message from us. Yes, we are to be the lights of the world to shine forth for him. There was this story about this crew of American pilots who flew their plane over the Pacific Ocean during the Second World War to intercept the enemy's ship in the Pacific Ocean. They completed a mission, and after they completed the mission, it was nighttime, all right, or near nighttime. It was dusk. And so they were trying to pilot the plane back to the base station. But there was a big storm, so it was impossible for them to see the ground. And not only that, the compass that they had in the plane was faulty. So they didn't know the right direction to go. And in those days, the planes were not that sophisticated. They didn't have that homing device that our modern planes have today. So they were practically lost in the air. But they were still able to communicate through radio with people in the ground station. So the people in the ground station could communicate with them. They could hear them. And then the pilots in the plane asked this question. Do you know where we are? The people from the ground station said, no, we are afraid we do not know where you are. But tell us, people from the ground said this to them. Tell us, yes, how much fuel do you have in the plane? There was a long silence because the tank was nearly empty. Then the people on the ground decided to do something that was quite dangerous, and that was to beam the searchlights into the sky. Because if they were to beam the searchlights into the sky and they were not well defended, the enemies could actually bomb the place. They could see where the lights were coming from. So anyway, they decided to beam the searchlights into the sky. And then after a while, one of the pilots said, I can see the light, I can see the light, we are safe. And so they were able to make a safe landing because they saw the light. Now think of what could have happened. If the ground crew had not beamed the searchlights, the plane would surely be lost, it would run out of fuel, and then it would crash. My dear friends, the world is in darkness. People in the world need to see the gospel light that we are the ones who are supposed to be reflecting. We must beam that light. Yes, that great light. Even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now think of the third possible reason as to why we must reflect this light. Now, we must reflect this light because if we don't reflect this light, it could very well mean that we are despising this light. How can it be possible that we are despising this light? We could, my dear friends. We say this light that has been given to us is the light of everlasting life. And therefore, this light is very precious to me. This light is vitally important to me. And the Lord says to me in uncertain terms, you are the light of the world. Now, so what does it mean, my dear friends, if I were to hide this light? I say it's very precious to me, important to me, and then the Lord says, you are to be the light of the world, to shine forth this light. Can we really say that this light is indeed most precious to me, most important to me, most vital to my life, and most vital to those this light should be going to also? But then, I don't project this light. I don't shine forth this light. My dear friends, can it not be true that I really am ashamed of this light, that I'm despising this light? Possible. Yes, possible. Now, supposing you are a lifeguard, okay, and as a lifeguard on duty, you must put on your lifeguard uniform, right? Your lifeguard cap and your lifeguard attire. But supposing you look at the lifeguard attire, and you say, I don't like the design of this lifeguard attire. The color combination is simply atrociously bad. I hate this uniform. So much so that you say, I'm not going to put on this uniform. In spite of the fact that I'm the lifeguard, I'm not going to put on this uniform. My dear friends, why wouldn't you put on the uniform? You don't put on the uniform because you despise your uniform. You don't like it. You don't like the design. You don't like the color. My dear friends, are we not supposed to be the light of the world, to reflect the light of the world, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that people may be able to receive this light and see the way, even the way of life? But friends, we are not reflecting this light that we are supposed to reflect. Why? Because, my dear friends, we are ashamed of this light, not proud of this light, maybe even despising this light, like the way the lifeguards despise their uniforms. Now, why else must we reflect that light? Now, we must reflect that light because if we don't reflect that light, it shows how spiritually sickly we are. Now, we are supposed to be the light of the world, and then no light is coming out from us. The Lord says, you are the light of the world, but no light is coming out from us. My dear friends, we are to be true witnesses for the Lord, then we are not. Now, a true believer must necessarily be reflecting that light. Understand this truth. Why? Because the Lord says, you are the light of the world. Therefore, we must reflect this light. Every true believer must reflect this light. Every true believer is one who is very, very large-hearted. He will make sure that he does not go to heaven alone. He's very large-hearted. He's not spiritually sickly, spiritually healthy. He will make sure that he doesn't get to heaven alone. When he gets to heaven, he wants other people to go to heaven with him. And he makes sure that the light of his candle is brilliant, placed on the candlestick to give light to everyone in the house. Yes, so he wants to provide that light for everyone. The Lord says, you are the light of the world. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So if you are believing parents, I'm sure, my dear friends, you will have that desire that your unbelieving children will go to heaven with you. And you believing children, for sure, my dear friends, you will be wanting very, very much for your parents who are unbelievers to go to heaven with you. And if you are a believing employer, you will be very, very desirous that those who work for you will get to heaven with you. And if you are a believing employee, you will be very, very desirous that your boss will get to heaven with you. And then if you have many friends, you also want your many friends to get to heaven with you. My dear friends, how well are we reflecting this light? If we are not reflecting this light, we are indeed very sickly spiritually. Now the next question is, why does a believer not reflect the light he is supposed to reflect? Luke chapter 11, alright, Luke chapter 11, same thing. Yes, the writer of the Gospel of Luke talks about the same thing. Luke 11, verse 33, alright, same thing, I read this. Luke 11, verse 33. No man, when he has lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Yes, so he puts the candle on the candlestick. He doesn't hide it under a bushel. A bushel is a bowl, as we said. He doesn't cover it, the light, with his bushel. Now, what can be the bushel that prevents us from reflecting the light clearly? My dear friends, it could be sin. Sin could be the bushel. If we live a sinful life, what kind of testimony would we be bearing for the Lord? What kind? My dear friends, it will be a destructive testimony. Now, if we lie and cheat, if we are slothful, and if we use the same kind of blasphemous language that people in the world use, and if we have moral standards that are similar to the moral standards of the world, how can we be reflecting the light that the Lord wants us to reflect? Can people trust us, my dear friends? We are supposed to be reflecting this light, but can people trust us? When we deal, let's say, with our colleagues, can people trust what we say? When we give our word to our boss, when we give our word to our colleagues, when we give our word to our subordinates, are our yes, yes, and our nays, nays? Yes? When we give our word, do we take our word back? My dear friends, now if we want to be reflecting the light as the Lord wants us to reflect, Our yea must be yea, our nay must be nay. Now, young people want their parents to come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But if they are living lives that are sinful, how can they expect their parents to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then, my dear friends, if we are not peaceable, in other words, people who are not easy to make peace with, if we are people full of strife, how can we expect people to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ if we project such a testimony? We are indeed hiding the light that we are supposed to reflect by this bushel, our sin. Yes. Now, worldliness can be our bushel also. It can be the cover that covers up the light that we are supposed to reflect. Now, if we are no different from people in the world, we adopt the same sense of value, if we set our affections on things above rather than on things, if we set our affections on this earth rather than on things above, and then if we are not living with the hope that we are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face soon because we expect his soon return, my dear friends, how can people be impressed by our testimony? How can we be properly reflecting the light that we are supposed to reflect? So, my dear friends, worldliness can be another bushel that covers up this light that we are supposed to reflect. Now, the fear of man can also be our bushel that covers up the light. Remember, the disciples were very, very fearful on the night on which the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. Yes, they deserted him. Yes, forsook him. Now, what kind of light were they reflecting? What kind of light, my dear friends? You think there was any light reflected from them when they deserted the Lord Jesus Christ? Zero. Now, why did they forsake the Lord? Because they feared men. They feared for their lives. Yes, they were afraid that these men who arrested the Lord Jesus Christ would also arrest them if they stood with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they forsook the Lord because they feared men. But you look at these men on the day of Pentecost. The same men on the day of Pentecost. They stood up and preached to the very crowd that nailed or that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were absolutely fearless. They preached Jesus Christ. They preached his resurrection. And even the Jewish religious leaders who arrested them, I tell you, they were impressed by their testimony. Because this is what is recorded. I read to you. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. My dear friends, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They saw their boldness and they were very, very impressed by their boldness, even though they hated them and they persecuted them. And then in the next few verses, in Acts 4:19 and 20, I read for you, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, the them here refers to the Jewish religious leaders. The Jewish religious leaders were trying to silence them. They threatened them and forbade them to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the two disciples said this, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for but we cannot but speak the things which we have heard, seen and heard. We cannot but do the things, speak the things, and say the things which we have heard. It was with this kind of fearlessness that they reflected the gospel light. No fear of man. On the night the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, the bushel covered the light. But now on the day of Pentecost, no more bushel, no more fear of man. They clearly reflected the gospel light. And what was the result? On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. My dear friends, is the light we are supposed to reflect covered by our fear of man? Let us not fear by the grace of God. Pray that the Lord will give us the courage so that this fear of man will not be a bushel that covers the light that we are supposed to reflect. So friends, let us take up the challenge and be bold for the Lord. So my dear friends, I ask you again, have you received this gospel light? You need it, friends. If you have not received it, you need it because you are living in the darkness of sin. You may not realize it, as we said earlier on. You are not only living in the darkness of sin, but you are darkness itself. You are guilty of walking in darkness because you have broken every of God's laws. Now, if you do not repent, my dear friends, you are going to spend eternity in outer darkness where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. And don't postpone your decision to come and believe the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you reject the Lord today, it's going to make it harder for you to receive the Lord the next time. And there may come a time your heart is so hardened that you are totally incapable of believing in the Lord, because God would have given you up. How sad that day would be if it ever comes to you. Now, Jesus is the light of the world. If we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must necessarily reflect this light, because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Yes, and we must be the light of the world, because people are lost without this light. We are the light to show them the way. Now, if we are not reflecting this light, it could be because we are despising this light, just like that the lifeguard who refuses to put on the uniform. Yes, we could be despising this light. We are very, very ashamed of this light. In other words, we are ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we are not reflecting this light. And then, next, why do we not reflect this light? We do not reflect this light possibly because there is a bushel covering this light. And what could that bushel be? It could be sin, our sins. If we are living in sin, my dear friends, we will be covering that light. Or another thing that can possibly cover that light is worldliness. We could be having a very worldly kind of lifestyle, and that covers the bushel. That is the bushel that covers the light that we are supposed to reflect. And then it could be because we are fearful of men, and this fear of men could very well be covering the light that we are supposed to reflect. But friends, we must shine for the Lord. And why must we shine for the Lord? We must because the Lord says, ye are the light of the world. And so it is incumbent on us to be the light that he wants us to be. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us this wonderful privilege to be the light of the world. You have appointed us to be your servants, to be your witnesses, and you have given us this light for us to reflect. O Lord God, we pray that we may not hide this light by any form of bushel that can possibly hide it. Our sins, worldliness, and our fear of men. O Lord God, we pray that we may show forth this light very, very clearly, because people who are in the world are living in darkness, and they are in need of this light for us to show them the way. So Lord, we pray that you will give us hearts of compassion, hearts that are very, very desirous of winning them for you. Help us, O Lord God, that as true believers we may indeed be very, very large-hearted to want them to come to believe in you, to go to heaven with us. So Lord, we pray that all of us here who profess you as Lord and Savior may be the light that you want us to be. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.